we just settle down, I believe that God's got something special, especially for some people who might be struggling this evening. So stick around. I believe we're living in amazing and challenging times. We're seeing God's presence and God's power released like I've never experienced before, with the promise that this is the beginning of greater things. We're seeing a divine acceleration with breakthroughs and things coming to a head, with freedom and repentance and healing of emotions and tangible manifestations of the Spirit. And this is becoming so normal that you guys are looking actually bored as I'm saying it. It's like, yeah. Manifestations of the Spirit, yeah, healing, yeah. Yeah. We're also seeing conflict and confrontation. There's an urgency for people to choose whether or not they're going to give their all to God, whether they're really going to trust, really going to surrender, really going to obey in a way that allows Heavenly Father to bring fullness and bring wholeness. He doesn't want anyone to miss out. That's what he's like. He doesn't want anyone to miss out. And he wants us to be prepared and ready. There's also a ramping up of confrontation with the enemy. Many of us will be aware of that at the moment. As we come up against his works, as the kingdom advances. And the picture we've had and what we believe firmly is that we are the battering ram and we are doing damage, but we feel it. So it's not like we're under attack and the enemy's taking ground. It's like we're taking ground and we're confronting the enemy. So whenever it hurts, think about what's happening and bash on. And for many, that attack may make you feel like giving up. It may make you feel isolated, with the enemy fighting to take back ground that's been won previously, trying to deceive people into believing that those victories weren't really won. I want to take a quick look at part of Acts this evening to help us to think about some of those things and put them in proper perspective. If you've got your Bibles, then take a look at Acts chapter 10 just while I'm talking, and you can check out as I go through some of Acts 10. So we're talking about Peter, who you remember was the guy who got restored amazingly by Jesus after his denial of him and given this commission, feed my sheep. And it turns out that his calling, though it is specifically to the Jews, is beyond what he could have imagined, because he ends up opening the way for the Gentiles to be understood as part of Jesus' flock, those sheep that needed feeding. And the whole story unfolds in Acts 10 and 11. The beginning of Acts 10, at Caesarea, there was a man named Cornelius, a centurion in what was known as the Italian regiment. He and all his family were devout and God-fearing. He gave generously to those in need and prayed to God regularly. One day at about 3 p.m, he had a vision. He distinctly saw an angel of God who came to him and said, "Cornelius." And Cornelius stared at him in fear. "What is it, the Lord?" he asked. The angel answered, "Your prayers and gifts to the poor have come up as a memorial offering before God. Now send men to Joppa to bring back a man named Simon, who's called Peter. He's staying with Simon the tanner, whose house is by the sea." When the angel who spoke to him had gone, Cornelius called two of his servants and a devout soldier who was one of his attendants. He told him everything that had happened and sent them to Joppa. Meanwhile, Peter is up on the roof, which is not abnormal if you lived in that day, and he's waiting for his lunch, as any respecting man will do. Obviously, there were different times then. And he ends up going into a trance. So we're not as weird as we think we are. So Peter's in a trance having a weird dream, a weird vision about food, in which he's asked to kill and eat food which has been declared unclean for the Jews. He refuses, and he is told by a voice which is from heaven, "Do not call anything impure that God has made clean." While he's wondering about what that means, Cornelius's men arrive. The Holy Spirit gives Peter the tip-off. While he's still thinking about the vision, it says in verse 19, the Spirit said to him, "Simon, three men are looking for you, so get up and go downstairs. Do not hesitate to go with them, for I have sent them." Peter went down and said to the men, "I'm the one you're looking for. Why have you come?" He didn't even say to the Lord, "What about my lunch?" I want you to notice that. That is impressive. They explain the story. He goes with them. He preaches the gospel. He hasn't even finished preaching the gospel when, in verse 44, we read, while Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. The circumcised believers who'd come with Peter were astonished that the gifts of the Spirit had been poured out even on the Gentiles, for they heard them speaking in tongues and praising God. Then Peter said, "Can anyone keep these people from being baptized with water? They have received the Holy Spirit just as we have." So he ordered that they be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. And then they asked him to stay with them for a few days. Now, these events are of enormous significance for us because we're Gentiles. I think everyone's a Gentile. Anyone not a Gentile here? Just checking. It would have been okay if you'd have been a Jew, by the way. We love you. And you got a bit of a head start on us, really. So they began the process of the early church understanding that the gospel was for Gentiles too. There was a radical change of thinking which was expressed in Acts 10 and verse 44. Then Peter began to speak. "I realize that it's true that God does not show favoritism, but he accepts men from every nation who fear him and do what's right." He shares his testimony with the early church leaders, and as you read on in Acts 11, they begin to move forward in this new understanding. And also tied up with this was the battle that raged in the early church with legalism. Those who taught that Gentiles were only proper Christians if they also followed the Jewish law and were circumcised. Those who went on to teach that actually all of the law had to be followed. Taking the church back into being saved by works and not by faith. Paul wrote about this specifically in the book of Galatians. And you can find lots in Galatians how he talks about, "You are running such a good race. Who cut in on you? Who are these people who take us back into the law from grace?" But in chapter 2 of Galatians, you find something pretty unexpected. Verse 11. "When Peter came to Antioch, I opposed him to his face because he was clearly in the wrong. Before certain men came from James, he used to eat with the Gentiles. But when they arrived, he began to draw back and separate himself from the Gentiles because he was afraid of those who belonged to the circumcision group. The other Jews joined him in his hypocrisy, so that by their hypocrisy, even Barnabas was led astray. When I saw that they were not acting in line with the truth of the gospel, I said to Peter in front of them all, 'You are a Jew, yet you live like a Gentile and not like a Jew. How is it then that you force Gentiles to follow Jewish customs?'" This is astonishing, really. When you think about it, Peter, who is part of an amazing event which is groundbreaking, who is involved, which involved Cornelius seeing an angel, getting a vision, telling him to send for him, involved him going into a trance and getting a vision from God, involved the Holy Spirit telling him to go with men that were now at his door, the same Spirit being poured out as he explained the gospel with manifestations, an event that changed the world, God revealing that what Jesus had done broke down all barriers between people. Yet a little while after that, Peter, who was an apostle, Peter, who was used in mighty signs and wonders, Peter, who was involved in an angelic jailbreak, having this revelation given in miraculous and confirmed ways was refusing to eat with Gentiles who weren't circumcised. So what was going on? Well, there was fear of man. Paul actually says that. He was afraid of those who belonged to the circumcision group. That's Peter. He's an apostle. He does signs and wonders. And he's afraid of a group of snotty Jews. The lies of the enemy, who always, 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 always wants to bring division and isolation, where God is breaking that down. And in the middle of that, he'd forgotten the truth of the gospel, which is what we must hold on to. And that meant that ground that had been taken so miraculously had been lost, and it needed to be taken again and held on to and established. And Paul did it. Can you imagine a rumble between two apostles? I mean, that's a serious fight in the playground, isn't it? Two apostles. Did it happen because of some incredible thing? No, it happened because Peter got influenced by a group of guys, and he became afraid to do what he knew was right because of the fact that they would criticize him and they would ostracize him. And he's an apostle. So it's going to happen to us, isn't it? So it's going to happen to us. He saw the angels, he saw the miracles, he saw the signs and wonders, and he got sidetracked. Now we are longing for more moves of God. We are longing for signs and wonders and miracles. And some of you, I know, will say, if you haven't said already, if I had an angel visit me, if I had God speak to me like that, if I had Holy Spirit outpourings whenever I pray for people, then just watch me go. I'll never look back. I'll never look back. I'll never be the same. That's what I need. That's what it's all about. Now, I'm absolutely not saying that we shouldn't seek for more of God, that his presence and power isn't a vital part of the reality of our faith, and we're not going to be pressing on and pressing in. But I am saying that Peter had all that and more. He was an apostle. He spent 3 years with Jesus. He'd seen it. He'd heard it all. He stood up for his faith with great courage in the face of threats and violence and imprisonment. So he's a gutsy guy. A brave man who's seen it all and heard it all. And yet even he lost the plot when he forgot the truth of the gospel. When he was deceived by the enemy. When he was influenced out of fear of those who were around him. He ended up play acting. He ended up, that's what hypocrisy is, instead of walking in the light until the truth set him free again. I wonder, are there any places where we are pretending to be something different from who we really are? Are we a church trying to impress people with our holiness when we're struggling with stuff? Are we at work trying to impress people with our worldliness when we're actually a lot holier than that? Are we different people in different places? Are there issues of identity and integrity and wholeness? Because when you live like that, it's absolutely exhausting. It's exhausting not being who you really are. I believe that we're going to see stuff. I believe we're going to see signs and wonders like never before. I believe that. And I'm longing and I'm looking for renewal to take us to revival. Some of us have experienced breakthroughs in our lives over the last years like never before. But I want to say to you, it doesn't matter how spectacular that stuff is, how miraculous, how groundbreaking. It's the truth of God's word that keeps us on track. When the events and when the feelings and when the novelty wears off, it's the truth of God's word that keeps us on track. You've probably spotted that I'm a word and spirit man. It's both and always. Both and always. There are some churches where they seem to be kind of trying to just slowly manage the Holy Spirit out of it. And there are other churches where there's a temptation and they're looking for those experiences to lose track, actually, of the essence of the gospel. And we mustn't do either of those things. The enemy is always going to try and steal and spoil and destroy. There will always be other voices in our world speaking against that truth. And we need to walk in surrender, in trust, in obedience, in purity. And when we fail and when we fall, to return to the truth of forgiveness through confession, through repentance. Because the way we come to freedom is the way we walk in freedom. The way we come to freedom is the way we walk in freedom. And there may be some here who are thinking, after all God's done, I've blown it. I've had these breakthroughs in my life and I feel like I've lost a lot of ground. I can't possibly ask for help again. I'd better fake it. I'm so ashamed, I'm so embarrassed. Let's just pretend. Or out in the world, I can't stand for my faith with them. I'm so ashamed, I'm so embarrassed. And then we become isolated, then we become discouraged, and then we head for condemnation. Because the way we were held in captivity originally is the way we get drawn back to captivity. When we believe the lies, when we step out of the light, when we begin to feel that we're alone, when we begin to take on board that condemnation, when we become ashamed, when we become embarrassed. And the way we return to freedom is the way we came into freedom in the first place, as we walk into the light. For many of us, whatever our background was, some of us came from backgrounds where there was a lot of stuff. And we said we could never share that with anyone. We could never share it with anyone. And then we did, and it came out into the light, and wow, it was amazing. And God set us free, and people loved us. And then we take a step back into a tiny part of what we were involved in before, and we go, I can never share that again. I can never share that again. I'm so ashamed. I'm so embarrassed. And we're taken back into that place, and we lost ground. At the moment, so much is coming to a head. Many people are feeling that increasing attack from the enemy, feeling like failures, feeling like giving up, feeling isolated. Others are feeling like they're missing out on what God's doing. And because of that, perhaps they're not loved. Maintaining faith and expectation without letting disappointment take us to unbelief is a delicate balance. Have to have the hunger to press in and the faith not to go to unbelief. It's a delicate balance. But as we keep doing all that we can to align with what God's doing, I just want to say this evening, I want you to remember Peter, who in the middle of astonishing revival got taken off track. Even though he was an apostle, even though he was in the middle of the miraculous, by forgetting the truth of the gospel, by forgetting God's word to him about what he was called to do and who he was called to be, by listening to the wrong company and shunning the right company because it was creating conflict in him. And for some tonight, you don't like being in the right company at the moment because it's hard work, but that's where you need to be. That's where you need to be. So are you in a bad place at the moment? Or have you just got sidetracked or distracted? What is it about God's truth that you've forgotten? Where are you shunning or ignoring what you know is the right company? Where are you keeping or influenced by the wrong company? Where are you faking it? I just looked at everyone then, so no one thought I was looking at anyone in particular. Where do you need to once more take that step of walking into the light so that you can come back to freedom? Trust, surrender, obedience to God's word, walking towards purity, keeping the right company. They prepare us for all that God wants us to do. They protect us from the enemy taking ground. They put us in the place where we can continue to bear fruit in times of drought as well as times of plenty. You can't go wrong if you do those things. As Galatians says about some of that stuff, there's no law against it. So tonight is a time where you're remembering Peter just to help you for a moment not to feel so bad about yourself. You're remembering that Peter got sidetracked. You remember that Peter got into company that made him forget the truth of the gospel. And he was an apostle who'd been with Jesus and had seen the miraculous. So don't beat yourself up at the moment, because the enemy will only just help you in that. Don't fake it, hoping that you'll make it, because you won't. Walk in the light. Get back in the light if you need to. Get back to the truth if you need to. Remember the truth of the gospel and the power of the gospel. And let it rain, Lord. Let it rain, Lord. Now, I don't know if there are any words before we worship and before we make opportunity at the end for folk to be prayed for and with. But I do get the one sense that I get tonight. Is that God wants to do a jailbreak. That's what he wants to do. He wants to do a jailbreak for someone. Peter was in prison, and an angel came and opened the doors. Interestingly enough, when he went to the folk who were all praying for him and said, "I'm back," they didn't believe him. But he got into a second prison. It wasn't a physical one, because of the company he ended up keeping, because of the fears that he had, and there needs to be a jailbreak there. And his friend and fellow apostle Paul was the one to do it. And that jailbreak looked a bit like conflict to start with, but ended up being freedom. And it's a freedom that we are the recipients of. Every single guy here will say, "Yeah, really pleased." Some people got that. That's excellent. But God wants to do a jailbreak tonight for some of you who feel like you're absolutely stuck. And you'll know if it's you. I'm stuck. I'm stuck in feeling condemned about being stuck. I'm stuck in feeling that I can't share what's going on in my life because people will say, "Why are you back there again?" God wants to do a jailbreak and wants to tell you that the way you came to freedom is the way that you return to freedom. And if you know that's you, I'm going to ask you as we worship, just to head over there so that we can pray for you over there. Some of you, it's not jailbreak time. You just know that you've got a little bit sidelined and you just need to get back on track. You need to line up with the truth of who you are in God. You need to line up with the words that have been spoken over your life and say that that's who I am. Some of you just need to say, "I'm going to stop that compromise that I've been living in. I'm going to sort that out so I can be in the place where God can move." So I think that's it.